We worship and honor you, Father. Again, we thank you for your tangible presence in our midst. As we enter your word, we beseech you that that same presence not only go with us, but increase. To shed light upon your word, to open up the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of the same. Come and anoint me afresh so that I will speak as I should. Indeed, as an oracle of God, help me to speak your mind and your counsel. As you've said, all the counsel of God. I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are physically present here, Father, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. So that your word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to your people. To do an internal, an eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills, Father, to become more humble. Minds to be more enlightened. Emotions to be more tempered and controlled. By the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have a present truth, prophetic message I want to share with us, and I've entitled it Building Up to Inherit. Building Up to Inherit. It is always important to know why you do what you do. That will motivate you to do it diligently, to do it properly, and not to stop until you achieve the purpose for which you're doing it. In the book of Jude, Jude is one of the brothers of the Lord, physical brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, James and Jude. Give the Lord Jesus a clap offering. Not everybody has two of his siblings become apostles. It's not common. You know, we got two brothers, Jude and James. Then we have another two brothers, Andrew and Peter. Then we have another two brothers, James and John. You know. So that's quite something. And he knew Jesus when they were young, but he didn't know who he was. He didn't know he was the Messiah until after the resurrection. He writes this to us. He said, but ye beloved, I didn't hear you, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, building up. Say, I'm building up. I'm building up for a purpose. In Acts chapter 20, Paul tells us what that purpose is. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 32. This is a very important scripture. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, unto the word of his grace. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Which is able to build you up. Turn to your neighbor and say, the word of God is able to build me up. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I'm going to say it, if I will allow it. It's available. And one of the purpose of it is to build you up. Says to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And that is why I've entitled this message, Building Up to Inherit. what God wants us to inherit. And you know, every time we talk about inheritance, most of the time, everybody's mind goes to heaven. I'm going to get my mansion when I get to heaven. I'm going to get the victory when I get to heaven. And everything, heaven, heaven, heaven. And it's true. I'm not playing that down. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he told us that he didn't just come to give us victory in heaven. He came to give us victory here. When Lazarus died, Martha, like many of us, you know, Jesus said, don't worry, your brother will rise again. She thought he was comforting her, just like the Jews. Everybody, you know, comfort people. Don't worry, you know, at least, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll say, which was all true. But Jesus tells her, no. He didn't say it in those words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he had not yet been resurrected. He was calling the things which are not as though they are. I'll tell you another one. You may never have connected it, but I will tell you now. He was tasting of the powers of the age to come. He was in one dispensation, and he was reaching out to the second dispensation that was going to start after his resurrection. So by faith, he stretched his hand, so to speak, and he brought the resurrection from the second dispensation into the present dispensation. Give the Lord a clap offering. That singular act was a lesson and a testimony to us Christians that we should not leave everything unto the millennium, unto the resurrection, you know, and you know, in the sweet by and by. And I'm not putting down those things. They're important, and we're going to see much, much greater things during. But there is a glory for this time. There is an inheritance for now, and that's the attention I want you to get. Now the question is, what is this inheritance? What is this inheritance? Is it money? Is it a big house? Is it, you know, what people normally think of a property, houses and real estate? You know what I'm going to tell you? They're all part of the inheritance, but they are not the inheritance. I find it very instructive and inspiring that the Lord Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, churches tells us it was Barnabas, this young ruler comes up to him and says, Lord, what will I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, nice guy. He said, okay, keep the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. These are all things I've observed from my youth. And he was telling the truth. The Bible says Jesus beheld him and he loved him. Loved him. He said, ah. He said, what then do I lack? Jesus said, all right. You want the real deal, eh? This life. Okay. He said, go and take everything you have. He said, go and sell it. Give it to the poor. Watch this. Take up your cross and follow me. The scripture says, the man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And he left. Jesus now turned to his disciples and said, how difficult it is for a rich man to go to heaven. Then he qualified it. He said, how difficult it is for them that trust, as the key word, in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. Then all the others were shocked because Jesus was not poor. And they were not poor, particularly Peter and James and John, you know, because they had this fishing business. They were making quite a bit of money. So they all, the Bible said, in astonishment, they said, who then can be saved? I mean, if a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, you know, or it's difficult, I'm rich, you know, you're rich, you know, so what's going to happen to all of us? Jesus then looked at them and said, there is nobody who has given up his riches, his wife, mother, father. What does that mean? That he has put commitment to me on a higher priority than all his other relationships. Children, wife, mother, and so on and so forth. He said, in this lifetime, I'm talking about building up to inherit. He said, he will receive 100-fold. And then in the world to come, eternal life. Again, second time. Bible says, the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm going to give you a third one now. I've given you the first one about Lazarus. I'm giving you the second one. I'm going to give you a third one. Again, Jesus does not put the inheritance into heaven alone. He lets us know that in this lifetime, that they will receive 100-fold. Houses and... So, part of the inheritance is houses and lands and riches and all of that. But that's not the inheritance. All those are a consequence of the inheritance. Now, what then is the inheritance? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're looking at verses 13 and 14. This is such an instructive scripture. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, is talking about what we have in Jesus Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and so on and so forth. So in verse 13, he says, "To in whom ye also trusted," I didn't hear you, "after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Observe the people who are already born again after that you believed. So there is a second experience, we call it the Pentecostal experience, that is available to every Christian, you know, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues. That's the, he now tells us what it is in verse 14. He says, which is the earnest, I didn't hear you, of our inheritance. Now we begin to get an idea of what the inheritance is. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So this baptism of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we get, after we get born again, that gives us the supernatural ability to pray on a consistent basis at will, actually. It says, I will pray in this, understand, I will pray in the Spirit, you know, with this supernatural spiritual language that God has given us. He said, this is the earnest of our inheritance. That word earnest is an old English word. It just means the down payment. It means the deposit. Let's look at it in some of the other translations. In the New International Version, it says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are in who are God's possession? The Amplified Bible says, that Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment on our heritage, in anticipation of its full redemption and acquiring the complete, everybody scream complete, possession of it to the praise of his glory. Let's keep it simple. When we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I came from Assemblies of God background. We call ourselves full gospel. Yeah, you know. The Assembly of God, you know, Assembly of God is Assemblies of God, AOG. Those are the acronyms, or rather, yes, you know what we call ourselves? All of the Gospel. You know, I came from that background, and I love our people, you know, but truly it's a misnomer. That's not the full gospel. That's not the full inheritance. It's the down payment. It's the pledge. It's the deposit. If you go and buy a car or something and you don't have all the money initially, you put a deposit down. Let's say it's 10 million, but you only have 1 million. So you now put the 1 million down as a pledge, a down payment, a deposit, that they will keep the car for you, so they won't sell it to anybody else because they already have your money in their hands, that you will now come with the remaining 9 million, and when you come, you can then take possession of the car. That's exactly what happened when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The deposit of the Spirit of God that we received with the speaking in tongues is only a deposit anointing. Now, you are supposed to now use it to pay a price of giving your soul and your body to the Lord, so that, you know, your will becomes more submitted to the will of God, or totally submitted to the will of God. Your mind becomes, like I was preaching during the Bible study, enlightened with revelation knowledge, complete, you know, you have complete knowledge of God and His ways. You know, your emotions become totally controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. The life of God becomes manifest, you know, becomes active in your physical members. When that price is paid, you know what will happen? God will give you the remaining anointing. So it will go from deposit to full. That is what we see in the ministry of Jesus. The inheritance of the Christian in this lifetime, not just in heaven, is the Spirit without measure. We already have the Holy Spirit, but what we have is a deposit anointing. He now wants us to have the complete anointing, which the Bible calls the Spirit without measure. The reason why we use that expression is that it's very large compared to the deposit that we have. It's just like if somebody has a 1,000 naira, he has money, but another person now has 1,000,000,000,000 naira. 1,000,000,000,000 naira compared to 1,000 naira is without measure. Try it. It's a good exercise for you. You know, start, you know, immediately after the service tonight, to this evening, go home and start counting. And try and count, you know, I'll even make it easy to you. Just count to 1 billion. You will still be counting. Start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, I remember when we were children, we used to play. You know, when you meet somebody, you find out, you count to 100. You say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, say to 100. Then the person say, okay, count to 200. We count to 200. Then, you know, when we really want to push the person, say, count to uncountable. We used to play, you know, when we were children. You know, seriously, try it. That's why I say without measure. You can't count to 1 billion. If you try, you may get to 10,000, 20, 30. I'm talking about you don't do anything else. Just sit down and start counting. So relative to 1,000, which you can count. It's easy for you to count up to 100. Even 1,000 will tax you a little bit, but you can do it. But relative to 100 and 1,000, the measure of 1 billion or 1 trillion is without measure. That is, you can't count it. So if, honey, watch this. If the deposit can enable you to speak in tongues, if the deposit can enable you to cast out devils,
If the deposit allows you to lay hands on the sick and they recover, what will the full measure do?
I'll tell you what it will do.
It will heal the sick instantly, not recover.
A difference between recover and instant.
It will cleanse the leper. It will raise the dead. It will cast out devils instantly. It will give incredible photographic memory, like what it gave to Solomon, but far greater. That is what you are building up to inherit. We want to inherit the spirit without measure. Of course, with that spirit without measure will come houses and lands and brothers and you know, what the Bible calls the hundredfold. It's inbuilt. But those material things are not the inheritance. They are just a consequence of the inheritance. And the good news, this is my third witness. I've given you one, Lazarus. I gave you the second witness when Jesus said you'll receive a hundredfold in this lifetime. I'm going to give you the third one now. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. He says, as he is, so are we in this world. God deliberately put that thing inside the Bible, knowing our unbelief. Because people say, yeah, yes, as he is, you know, when we get to heaven. And he said, in this life. So this full inheritance is available in this life. And is what we call the manifestation sons of God. Is what we must. It is not optional. We must inherit it in order to close this age. Until we have a significant number of God's people on the earth who have inherited this spirit without measure, Jesus will not return. Because the gospel of the kingdom would not be preached to every tribe, tongue, and kindred and make disciples therein without this. I was discussing with some of my pastors the other day. And I like to think on these things because they do three things to me. Number one, they provoke me. Number two, they inspire me. Number three, they make me live above what I see and what I feel. See, when you look at the world, let's bring it home. Look at Nigeria. You look at the problems of Nigeria. You know, the corruption in some of our leaders, the, you know, insincerity on our political system, in fact, when you look at the magnitude of the problems that are facing us, you begin to ask yourself in the natural, you know, if you don't have this understanding I'm preaching about, how can these things ever be solved? I have come to the inescapable conclusion that the only thing that can solve not only the Nigerian problem, but the problem of this present dispensation. What the Bible says, the whole creation is groaning and travailing in birth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, can only be solved by this inheritance. The church is wasting her time trying to use the deposit anointing to solve a problem that can only be solved by the full anointing or the spirit without measure. I'm trying to solve problems with the spirit with measure that can only be solved by the power of the spirit without measure. Of course, it's going to end in failure. It's going to end in disappointment, you know, and that's why we tell lies and we do all kinds of silly things we shouldn't do. So this thing really it really gets to me. You know, even the earth today, you know, you look at America, you look at, you know, the Western Europe, that is the United Kingdom, Germany, France, and others. You look at Russia, you know, they have problems too. See, your own problem here is that, you know, there's no electricity, there's no water, basic infrastructure is not there. They have the infrastructure, but they have some deep social problems and moral problems that are almost intractable. You know, things like homosexuality, things like, you know, where good has become bad. And bad has become to the point where you can actually go to jail. And it's a deep-seated problem. So much so, it has gone into legislation. Somebody just won, they said they just passed something, you know, in the Congress just passed something, you know, although Obama had done it before, you know, but like establishing same-sex marriage. They have now, you know, it's now entrenched. And if somebody comes to your office, you know, maybe you're an employer of labor, you know, and you want to employ maybe like us, for example, in Lyford, and you, because I was a teacher, then, you know, you begin to ask him who he is, what he does. Are you married? It will never happen in Nigeria, in Jesus' name. But, you know, it's gradually trying to creep in. Then he says, yes. They say, okay, well, let me see your wife. It brings a man. Or it's a woman, like this basketball one that was just freed in America from Russia the other day. They invited the wife to the White House. And the woman was there with President Biden. Everybody was, you know. And let me be frank. I mean, I sympathize with the, you know, jailing, and I thank God that the other lady was free. That God is a kind person. I don't have any problem with that. But I have a problem with advertising immorality at the very highest level of government. And making it normal. That is a bigger problem than not having NEPA. The only thing that will break the two problems, that one, and this infrastructure one that we have in Nigeria and corruption, you know, no NEPA, no good road. No, you know, the things we complain about in Nigeria are just basic infrastructural problems. Really. We do have some degree of an immorality problem and all of that. But our problem is really very tiny compared, you know, relatively speaking. But this one and that one, the only thing that will solve it is this inheritance. Nothing else. Don't let anybody fool you, like Martin Luther King Jr. used to say. Don't let anybody fool you. Nothing short of this spirit without measure, this inheritance, this full inheritance, can solve and break through the problems that we are facing now. And if those problems are not arrested, they will eventually lead to the destruction of humanity. That is why God put the church here. That is why you are the light, you are the salt of the earth. The purpose of salt is to preserve something that will normally go rotten. If you remove the salt, then if you kill like, you know, a cow or something like during this Christmas season, people are going to kill animals. If you leave it for 2-3 days, if you don't do anything about it, it's going to get rotten. Worms and everything is going to get into it. The only way you can preserve it is if you put salt in it. You know, we call it eroniyo in our language. You know, then the salt acts as a preservative. It preserves it stops the corruption process from causing the thing to become rotten and, you know, uneatable. That's why the Bible says we are the salt. The earth is rotten, but we are the salt of the earth. But then he goes to warn us. He said, but if salt has lost its saltiness. In other words, if the salt is no longer having the preserving effect that it should have, he says, it is good for nothing. And men will cast it out. And they will trample it under feet. It has happened in history. It must not happen now. So we must. It's not optional. We must get this spirit without measure. The early church started in the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. And people like Paul taught these things. In fact, this scripture I quoted from in Acts chapter 20 was Paul's final admonition to the Ephesian church and the elders. So they were escorting him to his boat. So some of them came with their wives and their children. And he began to tell them, you're not going to see my face anymore because this is the last time I'm going to see me. I'm going to die. You know, I'm not coming this way again. You know, that's when he said this thing. He said, therefore, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This word I've been preaching to you, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God all of these 3 years that I've been here in Ephesus. He said, I commend you. This word I'm giving you, if you will use it properly, you know, it is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified, which was what was expected. But Paul goes, said, but I know that once I go now, there are going to be people amongst you who want to make disciples out of themselves. They're not sparing the flock. That's exactly what happened. Ephesus is in Turkey today. Within the next 200-300 years, do you understand? You know, after some time, the Muslims were just able to go over the whole place. You'd find very little Christian community in the place. It must not happen. Only this inheritance can enable us to preserve our nation, Nigeria. And not only Nigeria, like I explained, the Western world with all their technology and all the, they have a more deep-seated spiritual problem. Majority of their people, thank God there's always a remnant, but majority of their people, you know, have turned their back on the God of their fathers. I was told you last week, in England, they just did a census. The number of people who say they have no faith, don't know, white English people, are now in the majority. The ones who say they're not necessarily born again, but at least the ones who say, I go to church and I believe in God, they're in the minority. Yes. It's a statistic. And then the Muslims and the Hindus are growing in number. Because the Asians, you know, are just having more and more children. The extrapolation is that if this continues, by 2050, you will no longer be able to call England and places like that Christian countries. It will not happen. Because a remnant of God's people will get this inheritance. And with that salt, we will reverse, glory to God, this rotten process. Now, we won't stop it completely, but we will reverse it. We will halt it. We will preach the gospel, you know, make disciples. Watch this. He will make disciples in all the nations. Then we will go in what I call the first flight, the rapture. Immediately after the rapture, the rot will set in. Yes, he that lay will let, you know, except until he be taken out of the way. Once we are taken out of the way, in less than 7 years, this place will rot. That's what we call the Great Tribulation. All, watch this, all the factors that can cause the Great Tribulation are already in existence. The only thing is that there is a remnant praying church that is releasing the power of God that is keeping those spiritual forces at bay. Once we go, this place won't last 7 years. The Antichrist will come. I did the book of Revelation some time ago. You can listen to details on my series on the book of Revelation. You know? And it will be terrible. All the things you are seeing now is child's play. Have you seen how many floods you see every? Floods. You see it? My wife and I, by the grace of God, some years ago, I think it was our 25th and wedding anniversary or so, I fulfilled my promise. I took her to Hawaii. Like I've been promising it for years, but I finally did it. You know, today, there's a mountain in Hawaii that the volcano, they're taking pictures of the thing. It's like hell. You will see the red lava. When the Bible says fire and brimstone, it's because we're hell. That one in Hawaii is contained. It's just in one of the islands. So it's not affecting some of the other people. So they're going to take pictures of it and all of that. Imagine a situation where the volcanoes just erupt, and then the lava spews up and comes on entire cities. New York, San Francisco, Lagos, Abidjan. That is the kind of thing that is going to happen during the tribulation. All kinds of terrible natural disasters. Asteroids from outer space will come and hit the earth. The cosmic, the atmosphere that is protecting us from the cosmic rays of the sun, some of it will be removed so that the cosmic rays will come directly into the earth and destroy men's bodies. See, the only thing, like I said during the Bible study, that is keeping us is the mercy of God. Take the salt out of the way. Take the church out. Let me correct that. Take the church that is watching and praying always out. Because there's another part of the church that is just sleeping. They're praying, but they're not watching and praying always. They pray occasionally. They pray, you know, as it seemed good unto them. Take the church that is watching and praying always out, which is the condition for the rapture, to escape all of these things. The spiritual power that church has been releasing, once it's out of the earth, those factors, the geographical factors, the all earth that is groaning and travailing, will just floods, hurricanes, volcanoes, cosmic rays, global heating. You haven't seen anything yet. They're shouting global heating, global heating. Once we go, oh my goodness. The Bible says men will curse God because of the suffering that will be upon the earth. You don't want to be around for that. But the good news is that in the meantime now, we have to inherit the spirit without measure in order to be able to preach the gospel, make disciples in every tongue, tribe, and kindred, you know, and stem the spiritual forces, hold them at bay until we finish our work. Then we go. Then everything comes crashing down. If that doesn't get you inspired to get born again and to start doing this, and it's not, you know, being born again is no guarantee you are going with the first flight. First flight is not for the born again. It's for those who watch and pray always. Everyone say watch, pray, always. Now some people don't mind the watch and they don't mind the pray. The problem they have is with the always. Thank you, darling. Can you imagine the statement Jesus made? To be accounted worthy to escape all this. In other words, if you don't watch and pray always, you will not be accounted worthy to escape all these things. And some of those things will catch you. You go to heaven, no? But on what terms? In what manner? Imagine dying, you know, of global heating or an asteroid, you know, the thing make the waters of the oceans deep. There'll be time, the waters, there'll be a star, you will fall from heaven. It will pollute the waters of the earth. Said some of the oceans will be turned into blood. Hey, Pastor, you're trying to make me afraid. I just did my job. Put the fear of God into you. So that you wake up spiritually. Hallelujah. Awake from slumber. So, this is why. Look at Psalm 144. We pray it every Tuesday. Now, we started praying it just recently, relative to the amount of time we've been praying. We've been praying for Nigeria on a consistent basis in this church since about 2003 when the Abiola thing happened, you know. And God has been hearing our prayer like Dr. Williams told us, you know. But I want you to look at verses, let's start from verse 11. He's talking, you know, about, that's why I said, it's only this spirit without measure that can fulfill these scriptures. There is no nation on the earth, and probably one of the best would be America, you know, the United Kingdom, and, you know, where you have relative freedom of speech, freedom of expression, good infrastructure, working technology, and all of that. And we thank God for all of that. But like I said, the downside is that they have a deep moral problem, spiritual problem, that is eating deep into the fabric of the society. And it has to be reversed. That thing cannot continue. God forbid. God forbid! This thing is inching closer and closer to the leadership. That we should have a president or a vice president who is, I can't say with my mouth, God forbid. I said God forbid! Read and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That, everybody say it out with me, our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. This speaks of moral rectitude and uprightness among the young people. The young population, and of course the fathers and mothers too, say that our sons, our daughters, there is no nation that has this today. Not Nigeria, not America, nobody. We have very minor remnant. If you see, you know, sometimes when we're watching CNN, or we're watching television at our home, you know, and they're doing all these advertisements, you know, if you see the horrible things, you see them advertising whiskey. And you know, it's by these people who all the children are following them. It will change. It is changing. That our garners, verse 13, everybody read after me, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. There is no nation on the earth today that has that. America, with all of its technology and infrastructure, the same with the United Kingdom, Germany, you know, there is nowhere on the earth where there is no complaining. None. None. No breaking in. Well, one of the guys who was playing for England, while he was playing in Qatar, they broke into his house in London. Armed robber. In London. And he's not a poor man. He's a, you know, millionaire. He's a top footballer. They broke into his house. He had to leave Qatar, run back to London, get the police to check that his family was okay, and then he now came back. No breaking in. No complaining in our streets. How can this be? Everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, how can this be? Turn to your neighbor and say, you remember we're in Christmas. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So that holy thing which is born in you will be called the Son of God. Mary said, how can this be? The answer is the Spirit without measure. Turn to your neighbor and say, how can this be? The answer is the Spirit without measure. If the Spirit with measure could do it, we would have done it because we have it. But since it is still here, since there is still complaining in our streets, since there is still breaking in and going out, since our youth, many of them, they're not growing up as plants, and our daughters are not being sports. If you see the nonsense the young people wear today, and many of them have the morals of an alley cat. Sexual immorality, perversion, is iniquity that is abounding. The only thing that can stem it is everybody's spirit without measure. That there be no complaining in our streets. Every nation on the earth, people are complaining. They're complaining in Iran. They're complaining in Saudi Arabia. They're complaining in all the places where everything seems to be working. You know, the electricity is working. They have infrastructure. The people are complaining that they don't get there. They have to raise their pay. The UK, over this Christmas period, they are doing strikes. Railway workers are striking. Nurses are striking. It has never happened in the 200-year history of nursing profession, or 300-year history of nursing profession in the United Kingdom. People are complaining. What will solve the problem? Turn to your neighbor and say, spirit without measure. Now let's close. How do we get this spirit without measure? Paul has already told us. Build up. Ever say build up? You build up, but you use two things to build up. You use the word. He says, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And I'm going to show you how in a minute. And what I'm about to tell you will show you some depth. It's not just what you may think. And give you an inheritance. And then Jude says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself. Those are the two things that is, you have to build up until you get the inheritance. I like it. You know, mommy liked that scripture in Jude. He says, you know, the Amplified Bible says, rising higher and higher. In fact, give me that scripture quickly. Jude, yes, give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. But everybody, open your mouth. Say, but you, beloved. Don't your neighbor say, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. But you, beloved, building up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress. Rise like an edifice. Today we'll say skyscraper. Rise like an edifice, what? Higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what you motivate you when you are praying. I'm not just making noise. I'm building up. I'm not going to Good Morning Jesus to impress Mommy Sarah. I'm building up. I'm just, you know. I'm building up. And my building up has a goal. That goal is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when I was preparing this message, the Lord told me something. I said, Lord, how do we do this thing? He said, you know now, pray in the Spirit. I said, then he told me, it took me deeper. I actually preached this message some years ago. I called it Build the Tower of Love. Everybody, go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. This stuff is amazing. Then you begin to understand the problems people are having and why some people are not building up as they should. I'm going to read verse 25 to 30 to get the context. He says, And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, Jesus never encouraged multitudes because he knew that they were not committed. If any man come to me, I didn't hear you, and hate not. Now, of course, Jesus is not asking you to hate your father. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That's exactly what I was saying during Bible study. Every scripture, you must interpret it with love. So that's certainly not what he's saying. He's talking about by comparison. He's talking about you cannot be more committed to your father than to me. He's not saying you should hate them. But he uses that word here deliberately to, you know, dramatize it, if you like. Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister. Yeah! His own life also. He cannot. Everybody scream cannot. Be my disciple. Like I've said so many times, we have a lot of born-again believers, but very few disciples. Most people don't have this level of commitment. Most Christians don't. If it comes to be a choice between them and their Jesus and their commitment, what God wants them to do, and what their parents tell them to do, or what his wife tells them to do, what his children tell them to do, they will first of all obey their wife, their husband, their children, before they obey Jesus. True! I didn't hear one amen. Not even one. Otito Kuru. In our language, that means the truth is bitter. Jesus said, you cannot. And you know, most Christians don't have this level of commitment. When the rubber meets the road, their natural relationships will take preference over the spiritual. Can you say amen? And if you can't say amen, look at your neighbor and say, oh me. They're talking about me. Well, Papa Hagen used to say that. He said, preaching, when he preaches something hard like this, he said, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Because the reason why you don't say amen is that it is you it's talking about. So if you don't say amen, say oh me. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be a disciple. The cross is the power of the Holy Spirit using this earnest to crucify the flesh daily through getting up early in the morning and praying in the Spirit with the Word of God as a foundation. That's what the cross is. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, most Christians don't. You know, since we've got this new mobile app, let's give Lord Clapping offering again for the mobile app. I so love the app. I use it myself now. You know, I've sent it to so many of my friends. Some have come and said, this is wonderful. Some didn't say a word. You know why? It puts you on the spot. You have no excuse now. Everybody, put it on your status, on your WhatsApp. So all your friends will see it. I send it to some of my friends, you know, some of them are Christians, some of them are, you know, like nominal Christians, you know. The Holy Ghost just said, send it to him. I sent it to them. One or two came back and said, they call me pastor. My friends called me, this is wonderful. Some of them, up to now, they have not replied to me. It doesn't matter. Now, verse 28, 29, 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him. Are they not mocking the church today? Are they not asking us? I told you one of my friends was asking me during COVID, where is your God? Talk. Where is your God? You know why? The church has laid the foundation, but she has not counted the cost, and she has not been able to build the tower, edifice, tower, same thing. Revelation knowledge. She has laid the foundation. Paul told us, he said, there is no other foundation that a person can lay except that which is Jesus Christ. So once you get born again, it's not even the full foundation. You know how to lay a foundation? You know, you have these two stones. They call it the cornerstone, but that's not the foundation. You know, it's the beginning of the foundation. That's what happens when you are born again. Just putting the two stones together is not going to do the foundation. To do the foundation, you have to dig deep. Jesus taught us that. Not just enough to get born again. He said, but damn man, take heed how he builds. Wood, hay, stubble. A guy who's bringing wood and hay and stubble, he's not going to build an edifice. Our structural engineers are here. Engineer Okoria, Engineer Adeshola, and you know. They will tell you, you cannot build an edifice, this kind of skyscraper. You can't build it with wood or hay or stubble. You need steel. Structural engineering. Gold and silver, precious stones. Otherwise, you're not going to have an edifice. You're just going to have a foundation. And after a while, people are going to start mocking you because you have not built up. And closing. I wrote it all down here. Then the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, he said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Here it says, he wants to build a tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Reminds me of the story of the three little pigs. We read it in primary school. I remember three little pigs. And the big bad wolf is the type of the devil. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf. Okay. And so, you know, the first guy built with hay and the wolf came, destroyed the house. The second pig built with wood and he puffed and he poofed and he blew the house down. Then they ran to the house of their brother. That one built with stone and rock. Revelation. And the wolf went woof, and woof, but he couldn't throw the house down. The wolf will not be able to blow your house down if you were built on the rock. So the Lord said this to me. He said, to build up, you must first of all dig down. People don't know that. He said, a man who wants to build, he said there were two houses. One was on the sand, the other was on the rock. He said, the guy who was just built, when the wind came, it destroyed the house. He said, but the second person, he said, he dug deep. So when you first start praying in tongues, honey, you're not building up, you're building down. To get your foundation on the rock of revelation knowledge. Because tongues gives you revelation knowledge. It is when you have built, you got down, and you have not just put two stones together, but you go and see when they're building skyscrapers. You see them with these pile stones, you know, the pile driver. They go deep. So for many years, they looked as if nothing's happening. But the guy is built, he's going deep. He's now laying a foundation. You now have to put all the steel, concrete, everything. And then when the foundation is strong and solid, then you are given a permit to build up. Hebrews chapter 6. It says, not laying again the foundation of dead works and of faith toward God, you know, and praying in tongues and laying on, you know, laying on of hands. He said, let us go on to perfection. He said, but we can only do this if God permits. The reason why many Christians are not building up is because they have not laid a good foundation and no permit has been granted. Unlike Nigeria, you cannot go and see them in heaven. And go and get permit when you don't have the right material. It will not be granted. So first, you build, you go down. To get to the rock, then you give a solid foundation. It is when the foundation is in place that when the extra tongues, the ones that come after, it starts rising higher. Observe, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Foundation. Stand to your feet. I don't know about you, but I'm about to take off. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You build on that foundation by the word, getting the life of God and the power of God, reading your Bible every day, listening to revelation knowledge, then praying in the Spirit, daily, effectual, fervent praying in the Spirit. Then that avails much. Then the edifice starts to rise. We're not building a two-story house. We're building a skyscraper. Literally, that scrapes the sky. That's going to touch the heavens and bring the glory of God down. You keep building. You keep building. And then it rises higher and higher. And the height you can go will be determined by the foundation you have laid. Let's talk to God. Let my heart be
the temple of your Spirit.
Let the Spirit.
Oh, sing it.
Let my Spirit fill
the warmth of your embrace.
Please let me be.
Let me be. A holy habitation, yes, where your spirit, is pleased to dwell.
Lord, let my heart,
let my heart
be the temple of your spirit.
Let my spirit,
let us feel the warmth
of your embrace.
Please let me be.
Let me be a holy habitation.
Where your spirit,
is pleased.
Is pleased to dwell.
Oh Lord, alone.
Oh
have come, a sacrifice of praise. Fill this temple.
Fill this temple, Lord,
with your glory. In.
Oh Lord, I long to know your glory. One more time.
To know your glory.
I've come to offer
a sacrifice of praise.
Fill this temple.
Fill this temple, Lord, with your glory.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God as we pray. Now, you see, The good thing about revelation knowledge and epignosis is that it gives you complete knowledge. See, some of us are still in the stage of digging down because we haven't yet laid a good foundation or a strong enough foundation. Others have been able to lay a foundation and they've started building up. And you must not stop building until the building is complete, where it reaches the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So say, how will I know the glory will manifest? So that's what motivates you, or should motivate, when you're praying in the Spirit. I mean, some of us who've been Christians for some years, our foundation is good. Especially if you come to a church like this and you've been doing what you've been told, you know, praying Pauline prayers, you've been getting Spirit of Wisdom, revelation. You have revelation on those foundational things of the faith. Faith toward God of, you know, as listed in in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, not head knowledge of them or revelation knowledge of them, then your foundation is good. Then a permit will now be issued. And how you know when you get the permit? You will know. Because you, when the permit is issued, you will begin to see the higher things of God. You wouldn't be playing with all this baby Christianity and all of that. You know, say that we be no more children, tossed to and fro. You know, that's the sign of immaturity. With every wind of doctrine, no permit. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. Huh. You got to, then you yourself, you can see how you are, you can see how you're growing. And the height you must reach is the same height Jesus reached. That's why we're still praying. That's what's motivating our praying in the Spirit. That's what's motivating our reading our Bible. That's what's motivating our hearing the Word of God. Because it is this Word that will build us up with the praying in tongues, that is going to build us up so that we can inherit. Let's talk to God. Raise that hand. Simple prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, especially unbelief and disobedience and wanting to take shortcuts. Lord, now I know that to inherit the Spirit without measure, I must build on a solid foundation of revelation of the perfection of Christ. Then go on to start building upwards, to grow, speaking the truth in love, to grow up into him in all things, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Whenever I want to pray, then realize why I'm praying. And I'm building myself up on my most holy faith to inherit the Spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood, for your life, for your power, in and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances. La a region of heavenlies. Insufficient measure. In this regard. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. There's already healing power in the word that I have spoken that is in the air. I'm just going to release it. Father, we release your healing power into the physical bodies of those who are in need of healing now. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the spirits of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of unbelief, spirit of infirmity. We cast you out. Destroy your works. Resist and bind you. In Jesus' name, we set you free. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. Even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.